Locked On BYUSN with Jay Hill to Michigan. What does Kalani Sitake and BYU football do next at defensive coordinator? The transfer portal is officially open today. Which players are the top priorities to retain for next season?
BYU football radio analyst Hans Olsen joins the program. Who is his top candidate to replace Jay Hill? And what are his top priorities for the Cougars in the transfer portal? And men's hoops opens conference play tomorrow in Manhattan against Kansas State. We'll break down our expectations for BYU against the Wildcats and for the entirety of the Big 12 season.
Welcome to a new year edition of BYU Sports Nation. On Friday, January 2nd, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Great to have you with us. I'm Jerem Jordan, alongside a guy who cracked way too many I'll see you next year jokes on New Year's Eve, Jason Shepherd.
You tell me what was incorrect about saying that on New Year's Eve. It is factually correct. The next time I see them,
I'll see you next year.
I
haven't done such and such since last year.
Hashtag dad jokes.
Yeah. How was New Year's?
It was fine. I spent it. Actually, I rung in the new year right as the finale for Stranger Things came to an end.
Nice.
That literally coincided. I got home from the women's basketball game. My two
great
sons.
Great first three quarters.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my two
sons watched the finale, and literally as it ended, it was midnight, and that's how we celebrated.
I've seen all these videos. If you start such and such movie, such and such will happen at midnight.
Yeah.
Like Avengers Endgame or whatever. Like.
Didn't make the finale any better, but...
nice. This will be a spoiler-free
No spoilers.
Yeah, spoiler-free version.
I just thought it was disappointing.
We will spoil what's been happening the last couple weeks and days and hours and minutes in college football and BYU football. But let's get after it. First show of 2026. I thought 25 was pretty good. Let's make it even better this year. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. Jay Hill reportedly taking the Michigan defensive coordinator job.
This program is not about one person. It's not about a player. It's not about a coach. It's not about myself. This is all about the movement and the entire Cougar Nation.
We're ready to transition. We've shown we can. We're going to be good for a long time.
BYU football now in a new state with 11 and 12 wins consecutively. And, of course, Jay Hill to Michigan. What's Trending is presented by Intermountain Healthcare, the official medical provider for BYU athletics. Moments ago, Michigan announces officially Jay Hill has accepted the new position of defensive coordinator under Kyle Whittingham's new staff. So, what's next for Kalani Sitake and BYU at defensive coordinator? Last week we gave you some names. Let's give you some more names in this conversation of potential candidates for this position. Internally, several good ones, and the probability is high that BYU promotes internally. Gennaro Guilford, Kelly Papinga, Justin Enna, all on staff, could potentially be the DC or some form of co-DC. We'll talk about it. Sean Nua at USC was in the mix with Jay Hill when Jay was hired. Tony White at Florida State, baptized earlier this year, certainly in the mix. A couple names that have been interesting that have been thrown out there. Justin Wilcox, formerly the head coach at Cal. Pete Kwiatkowski at Texas, recently let go by former Cougar Steve Sarkisian there as well. So, what's next, and what do you think of these potential candidates?
Yeah, I think you are probably looking at the next DC in that list somewhere. It does feel, and I think when you get to a situation like this where you're trying to figure out how a head coach is going to decide something like this, you kind of look back in that coach's history. And if you look at how Kalani was brought up, during his time as a position coach and then as a coordinator, a lot of his things were at the University of Utah. Kyle Whittingham promoted within, and if you earned your stripes on that side of the ball, whatever side it was, you earned an opportunity to be promoted. I kind of feel like that's probably what will happen, and certainly we don't know for sure what's going to happen. I think, and we'll get to the quote coming up in a minute, I think we probably will all know soon, and I use that word soon on purpose, because that's what was used in a message from Kalani, which we'll get to, but it feels like continuity is important for this team, and it's important for the coaching staff, but I think it's also important for player retention. And the portal's open. We're going to talk about that. So anybody is available to put their name in the transfer portal, whether they leave or not, still remains to be seen. But I think if you're trying to keep players that you believe are difference makers on this team, I think promoting within and keeping continuity, I think that will be big.
I think that's all spot on, and I agree with it. The last 2 years, BYU has had tremendous defense. First off, just shout out to Jay Hill. Unbelievable hire 3 years ago. BYU struggled at 5-7, really found their stride the last 2 years. 11-12 wins, so many takeaways, so many great defensive plays from Jay. Best of luck at Michigan, unless BYU plays the Wolverines. I want to read the quote from Kalani Sitake that came out just a few minutes ago from BYU Athletics. I want to express my sincere appreciation to Jay Hill for all he's done for BYU football over the last 3 years. He's a great coach, and I wish him the best in his new endeavor. Our football program is in a great place as we look to build on the success of the past 2 years with all the talent we have returning in 2026. I'm excited about the collaborative efforts of our defensive coaches over the past few years and the momentum we have been building as a staff. We have a lot of quality coaches in our program, and I'm proud of their efforts. We'll make the necessary staff adjustments soon, Shep, as you said, as we continue to find ways to help our players improve and elevate the success of BYU football. I'm like you. I would guess that internally there's a likelihood that one of the three guys we listed is the guy. Justin Enna has experience as a defensive coordinator at Weber State, at Utah Tech, at Utah State. He was part of a San Diego State defense that was really good as well. That would make total sense to me if Justin Enna was your next guy. What if it's Gennaro Guilford, like you mentioned? What if it's Kelly Papinga? I think we all feel pretty comfortable with those three, given how experienced they are, given that they're former players at BYU. Would BYU go and get Sean Nua and bring him from USC? Sean was totally in the mix, and reportedly, and from what I've learned, with Jay Hill, is down to those two when Jay was hired. So would you go to that well as well, Sean as a former player at BYU? Or do you go totally outside and bring out someone else? I think it's less likely to have that, given how good the defense has been the last 2 years. Oh, by the way, you know, Gary Anderson doesn't feel like a guy that wants to be super out there post kind of Wisconsin head coach, Utah State, of course, Oregon State. He wants to be behind the scenes helping out. He would be the best candidate if he wanted to be the guy.
Well, and if you want Jay Hill to stay on the staff, that's Gary Anderson.
He was Jay before Jay.
Gary Anderson, in whatever role BYU chooses to use him for, if he chooses to stay, and we all hope that he does, that's your Jay Hill.
He's been a defensive analyst. He's behind the scenes. He's not an assistant coach. Like, Gavin Fowler was the assistant safeties coach. Not the safeties coach. The assistant to the safeties coach, if
nice.
You will.
Thank you, Dwight.
Yes. And Gavin has gone to Weber State, reportedly, as a defensive coordinator. The safeties coach position is now occupied. We'll talk to Hans Olsen about his opinion on all this, too. But there's some opportunity to promote internally and, like you said, maintain the continuity of what BYU has had so far. And if you're Jay, do you try and get Gavin to Michigan on your staff? Does Jay try and bring some of these guys to Michigan, or do they stay with Kalani Sitake at BYU? These are all questions that are being asked. What players does Jay Hill perhaps want to bring with him? Falatau Satuala has been discussed a lot on social media as being a guy that certainly Jay Hill or others might want to bring. Falatau Satuala is one of the best players on BYU's team.
Yeah.
That's a guy you want to keep. He was a second-team All-American from the football
league. You know, and I want to make this point because we read the two. You mentioned it becoming official with Jay Hill. Within 60 seconds of Michigan posting on social media that Jay Hill had been hired as their new defensive coordinator, the comments, the statement from Kalani was put out on BYU social media.
Oh, yeah, he texts very quickly, and they create graphics very quickly.
But it goes to something that you said before the show started. This is not something that they're just, oh, now that it's official with Michigan, now we can start thinking about this. This is something BYU has had in the works for a while on what they would do.
The moment Kyle was rumored as getting that job, you start those.
So that's why I go back. They've thought this out.
Yep.
When Kalani in his statement says we will have something on this soon, I take him at his word that they know exactly where they're going.
What soon do you?
I would say, for me personally, speculation on my part, I would be shocked if we don't have something by the end of the weekend.
Ooh.
And maybe even today. Who knows?
Wow.
That's, again, speculation on my part.
I'll give it a week. You know, one week.
I don't know if you can wait that long with the portal being open right now.
Well, you can tell the players, here's our intentions. We just haven't announced it. Yeah, that happens too. So, yeah, there's some good candidates. Does BYU go internal? Probably. Do they go external? Maybe. Yeah, let's go. Our question today is this. With Jay Hill headed to Michigan, who do you want to be BYU's next defensive coordinator? You, the people, have a voice here in these United States. At Rowdy in the Rock, Gennaro Guilford. Been around for a while. Guys love him. He's a proven talent developer. Hasn't called plays quite yet, and it has the experience calling plays. Do you give it to Gennaro? I think that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. David Wilson, BYU. Sean Nua, and make that offer today with the portal now open. So there's an external option there from David Wilson. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram as this story continues to develop.
Yes, develop it does. You mentioned this a couple of times. As of midnight last night, the transfer portal officially open from now until January 16th. And in case you're wondering how many people are in the portal right now, over 2,000 players have already entered the portal. That is a very cramped portal, by the way.
Only 7 from BYU so far.
Yes. We're gonna just narrow this to 5. There's probably more than 5, I'm sure. What 5 players do you believe are BYU's biggest priorities to retain for the upcoming season?
BYU already got its biggest one in Kalani Sitake, by the way. That's number one. But the 5 players I list, Bear Bachmeier, you need to just make sure that he's good. LJ Martin, is he going to the NFL? Is he coming back? We're feeling like he's coming back. We'll see. Falatel Satawala is next for me. Isaiah Glasker. TBD on whether he goes pro or comes back. If I'm Isaiah, I come back for one more year. Mm-hmm. Parker Kingston. I know Parker's been, you know, offered from other schools. You know, the tampering is widely known in college football. Other schools offering him some big money. You know, Bear's been offered big money. Retain these guys to stay at BYU. And their value increases, like the rev share / NIL, what they get, you know. You have to look and say, okay, what's your value now based on what last year was? To me, those are the top 5.
You and I are exact on the 5. I have them in a little bit different order. We both have Bear number 1. You cannot lose your quarterback, especially after the season that we saw from him as a true freshman. So you and I are on the same page there. I have Falatel Satawala number 2.
Nice.
I think he's that important. He
more than LJ.
I'll get to that in a second. I think what he did on the defensive side of the ball at such a young, being so young in his playing career at college, the sky is the limit for him. That guy is a surefire NFL guy. You cannot lose a player of that caliber. I have LJ number 3, and the only reason I have him number 3 is because it's still up in the air on whether or not he's even going to be back in college playing for anybody. He obviously is coming off his best season as a collegiate athlete, and a lot of times, you know, you can certainly understand when guys want to take advantage of that and strike while the iron's hot and go into the NFL. I certainly, from a selfish standpoint, hope he comes back.
Yep.
That's why I have him 3. I actually have Parker Kingston at number 4. When you lose a guy like Chase Roberts, seeing how important Parker was opposite him, you can't lose a guy that's that dynamic. And then I've got Glasker number 5. So we have the exact same 5, just a little bit different order.
There's some real star power there for BYU. Hopefully they can retain all 5 of those guys. And frankly, 4 of the 5 would be pretty good. Players who have entered the portal already, by the way, or intend to, because it opens today, they've announced. McKay Hillstead, Marcus McKenzie, Dom McKenzie, Ike Tupo, Jake Griffin, LeMason Waller, I was excited about him. Tucker Kelleher. So those are the players. So far, no starters from BYU in the portal. Number 10 men's basketball opens Big 12 play tomorrow against Kansas State. Pregame coverage 12:30 Eastern on BYU Radio. Game tipping at 1:30 Eastern on CBS. CBS! And BYU Radio. KenPom favors BYU by 8 at K-State. Is that along the lines of what you expect tomorrow? Cougars by 8.
Yeah, and I expect that they'll maybe reach that in the second half. How about that?
Not first half because
it's the way that the season has gone.
BYU football's like, hey, us too.
No, that sounds about right. I'm telling you, I love the way that the schedule shakes out for BYU to begin the season
totally
in Big 12 play. And I love that they're on the road first. Give yourself a game that you should win, but yet the adversity of going on the road in an environment that will be good and it will be hostile against a good Kansas State team, but still one that BYU should win the game against. So I like this right out of the gate going on the road.
And let's talk about that. So it's at K-State. Arizona State beat Hurley Wednesday in the Big 12 home opener. At Utah, which will be a BYU home game. And then Wednesday, a lot of drama there. Wednesday, January 14th, SeatGeek! January 14th, TCU at home. Then you're at, shout out to Brother Toulson there. And then January 17th, you're at Texas Tech. So, yeah, you play four unranked teams. The hope is you're 4-0, and then you go and see what you got against the Red Raiders, which will be a great game as well. So, yeah, I'm in favor of that. Second game in Manhattan, that's a geography joke. I expect A.J. DeMonsa and P.J. Haggerty to both just score a bunch of points. This is the number 2 and 3 scorers in the country. I think this matchup's going to be really fun. Can A.J. continue what he did in December? Because it's been a 12-day layoff by the time you get to the game tomorrow afternoon. It's another showcase game. CBS wants AJ. This is CBS saying, hey, we, and PJ, frankly, it's AJ and PJ. Sounds like a podcast on Barstool or something. Can AJ throw down? Can he approximate a triple-double? Can he keep doing what he's been doing? How does Abdullah Ahmed factor in now that he's had a couple more practices? What's the wind like for BYU in terms of conditioning coming off of all the fruitcake consumed over the break? What does BYU look like? Because they were playing some good basketball against good competition, won the four bye games convincingly. Now what? Because K-State, if you like the taste of K-State, that's some mozzarella sticks to the entree of Arizona and Texas Tech and Iowa State and all these guys.
Well, and that's why I feel like the matchup with K-State is going to – you ask, can AJ continue what he did in the non-conference? Well, when you look at some of the teams that he played against in the non-conference, even at exhibition – against North Carolina, those numbers were consistent. So I just don't worry about that with him.
He just cranked it up.
Yes, he just, he took it to the next level.
He was like at 19, and then he's like, let's go to 28. It was just a crazy ascension, and I'm excited to see it. Kansas State, 61 in net. This will be a quad one opportunity on the road. A lot of A games, quad one, quad two opportunities for BYU. Let it begin. And my hope is that BYU stays in the top 10. I don't think they'll drop out of the top 15 all season.
Shouldn't.
Just keep this going. Start conference play with the dub on national TV. Continue the rhetoric. But it really is a matchup of two tremendous scorers and two future NBA guys. PJ's an NBA guard in the future.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it's going to be a great matchup tomorrow. It should be a good game. And like I said, it should be one where BYU can start off conference play with a win. All right, let's go back to college football. Texas Tech, Oregon did not go the way that I think most BYU fans were hoping to see Texas Tech get on a roll, maybe win the whole thing. 23-0 loss to the Oregon Ducks in the college football playoff. What does that mean for BYU in the Big 12 in 2026?
Certainly was hoping that the perception of the league would be aided by a Big 12 win. This is the new Big 12. This is not Texas, Oklahoma in it. Texas Tech and BYU and other, like the new people and new teams, new money coming to the table and so on and so forth. Laid an egg. 1-8 now in the Big 12 in the college football playoff. That has little to nothing to do with BYU, but it does affect the perception of BYU's hopes to get in at-large bid next year. Certainly every year is like your team, your year, what did you do? And again, if BYU had played Texas Tech closer twice, maybe they were in the playoff. It had little to do with Texas Tech and more about like BYU competing better with Tech. You could argue, well, Tech did that to them. I don't think it helps the Cougars. Does it hurt a ton? No, but it doesn't help at all.
Yeah, the thing that changes my answer to this is what does it mean for BYU in the Big 12 in 2026? If that were 2025, I would say it has nothing to do with BYU. It was just a bad day, and we saw how good Texas Tech was the entire season. So,
it mattered the most.
But for next
0 points.
But for what it means next year, I think I agree with you. It just adds more fuel to the fire that, look, You guys were clamoring that you were a two bid and maybe, you know, you get three in and then you go in and...
Who said three?
Well, I'm just saying.
Two. You know,
but yeah, if we get two.
Yeah.
But this was just, it was a lot of what most, the committee said about BYU and how they performed against Texas Tech. This is
if
now.
If they got blown out by Oregon and they got blown out by Texas Tech, therefore.
So what? it doesn't help the perception.
Yes.
Now, I mean, what you can do is you can just go out and everybody can win a lot of games and you force their hand.
Go 11-1, including a win against Notre Dame.
Yes.
And BYU should be in the college football playoff next year.
Unfortunately, it just wasn't a good look, even though we were all pulling for the Red Raiders.
But what are those two losses and how did you look in the Big 12 title game when it mattered late? The same questions will be answered. Can BYU do it again? Can they force the hand? And then Miami completely validates themselves. Completely validates themselves. Crazy. Keelan Marion in the semifinals. There wild.
All right, number 10, BYU men's basketball opening up Big 12 play tomorrow on the road at K-State. Pregame coverage begins at 12:30 Eastern time on BYU Radio with the game tipping off at 1:30 Eastern on CBS and on BYU Radio.
Coming up, who are the top candidates to be BYU's next defensive coordinator? What are the top portal priorities by position? Hans Olsen has the answers, and he's got a strong opinion always. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
Ain't no off season, summer, winter, fall, ball, all season. First one in, last one leaving. Ain't no off season.
BYU's future is bright.
Let's go!
This program is not about one person. I'm excited to see what happens next year.
Next year begins today because the portal's open. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepherd with you to discuss all things college football, Brigham Young University, and otherwise. Hans Olsen, the analyst on BYU Radio, joins the program. Hans, we just heard it in the music video. There is no offseason, and it begins today. Your reaction first to Jay Hill to Michigan and the impact on the Cougars.
Heartbroken. Absolutely heartbroken. Because I love Jay way beyond just as a coach. I've loved him as a dear friend and a family man and everything that you can say positive about a human being. Jay Hill has that quality and that characteristic, and I'm happy for him. Go pursue your dreams, Jay. I am so grateful that you are healthy. I am so grateful that you are happy, and I'm so thankful for the three-year stop that you made in Provo to restore some incredible defense, some great recruiting, great eye on talent, and bring an 11 and a 12 win season along with Kalani Sitake and staff. So forever thankful for Jay. I will always be a huge fan. I will always be rooting for Jay, but the future is still very bright for BYU in my opinion.
Well, and immediately thoughts then turn to, okay, well, who's going to replace Jay Hill as the defensive coordinator for the BYU Cougars? Because we know how good that defense has been over the last 3 years under his watch. So where do you think BYU goes? Is it an internal hire? Do you think they look outside? Where do you think the Cougars go?
Do not go outside on this defensive hire. Do not. Everybody needs to understand the makeup of this defense. It is Kalani Sitake. It is Jay Hill. It is Gary Anderson. It is then goes to Gennaro Guilford, Justin Inna, Kelly Popinga. That's kind of the core of this defense. So you want to run the same defense. You want to be able to rotate through odds and even fronts. You have to be able to design hidden blitz, hidden coverages, the things that we saw against Georgia Tech, the things that we saw in spades against Colorado and the Alamo Bowl. You want to be able to maintain those things. So how do you maintain them? This is how you do it. You hire Gennaro Guilford as your defensive coordinator. You keep Gary Anderson because I just don't think Gary Anderson, I don't think he wants to be the spotlight. I think he likes to be a voice. I think he likes to be a mentor. And I think he likes to create coaches. And he's helped create a lot of them, including Jay Hill. So I would love to see Gennaro Guilford be hired as the defensive coordinator. you know, if you want to make it some type of even front, well, then maybe you hire some kind of co-D coordinator. But Gennaro Guilford is the key, in my opinion. I think he's the future of this defense, and I think that he is going to be a spectacular coordinator at some point. So that's a long answer there for a question of inside or outside. If they go outside on a hire to run this defense, I will be very disappointed. I want to see this as an inside hire, and personally, I want to see it as Gennaro Guilford.
Okay, a couple follow-ups there. Gary Anderson has experience in the Big Ten, given Wisconsin head coach. Obviously, he's got the connection with Kyle and Jay from Utah. You don't think that Gary will go with them to Michigan? Because if he stays, that'd be great. I agree with you.
Well, I think that Kalani Sitake needs to put a barrier around Provo and make sure that he does not go. I think that Brian Santiago needs to be on the phone, if he hasn't been, needs to be very quickly, and put a barrier around Provo. A couple things, Jerem. He's a grandpa, and he is a family man. He already makes the commute a lot of times from Logan, and he has been so committed to this team. It's been awesome to watch coming out to practice and watching him and his engagement with the players and his care for the kids and then watching his engagement with the assistant coaches. And I just know Gary. I met Gary back in 2006 when I jumped into sports radio. And he was at Utah. And I got to know him really well. And I've always thought, man, I would play for that guy. In a heartbeat, I'd play for him because of his intensity. And he always takes accountability. So I know what he means to this program. I know that he loves Provo. I know he's loved the success. I know that he loves Kalani. Remember, he was part of the building process for Kalani Sitake as a defensive coordinator and has been integral in Kalani Sitake's success. So he is a Kalani Sitake fan and has loved watching Kalani thrive. So make sure that he does not leave Provo, because I think he's as much the fabric of the style and scheme of this defense as Jay Hill. Now, remember, Jay is calling plays, so Jay has more influence, but I'm talking about the fabric of this defense, the way it's built, it's structured, the way it can manipulate offenses, the way it can hide coverages, all the different little nuances and details of it. He is the fabric of that. Now, you just got to find the right guy to bring up as the next big thing, the next Kalani Sitake, the next Jay Hill, the next everything that's been around Gary Anderson. And I think that's Gennaro Guilford, but Gary has to stay. And I think there's a lot of reasons, including those grandkids, that Gary should stay, and his beautiful family, because he's just got the best family on earth. And I think that I hope that he knows how much Provo loves him. I hope he knows how much Cougar fans love him, and I hope he sees all the reasons to stay.
Former Cougar and BYU radio analyst Hans Olsen joining us here on BYU Sports Nation. Now, so I don't want to put words in your mouth, so if this is not what you believe, please correct me. But it also sounds like one of the other reasons, beyond being able to keep those types of coaches in the program and being able to continue to run that system, do you also believe that plan and going down that road of hiring inside also is the best result for player retention on the players that you want to keep?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think that these players love these coaches. And I think if you made a wholesale change, now that new coach that would come in, maybe he brings talent with him. Let's say you hired a Sean Nua type, and he's got USC connections, and he brings USC talent with him. I love Sean, and man, would I carry that banner for that guy. I love him. He's a great representative, and he's a great developer. But I don't want to see those sell change. I don't want to see scheme change. I don't want to see player change. I know he brings some great talent with him, but I want to see the talent that's here be great. You know, Keanu Tanivasa was on with Greg Rebel and I, and I'm sure you guys as well, right after that bowl game and Keanu said, I'm coming back, or, you know, my plan is to come back. And you could hear the excitement. And I know that that is, I know that that's tangible across the locker room, that these players love these coaches. It would be a change. It would disrupt. If you could hire within and keep continuity, remember, it's only Jay Hill. Now, I know it's Jay Hill, but it's only Jay Hill. And you can keep those coaches that have built those relationships. You can hire within, you can promote, and you can show consistency, continuity. And I think that that's important, because there's a really good chance here, guys. I think there's a really good chance here that BYU could go into the 2026 season and the only coaching change be Jay Hill. Now, and to promote inside. So now what do? You go find a safeties coach. And if it's me, I'm sorry, Weber State, but I go to get Gavin Fowler back.
You bring him back.
That's what I go get Gavin Fowler back, because he knows Jay Hill's safety style. When Jay went through some of his health issues, I know Gavin really picked up the slack. I know that those safeties have really embraced Gavin's teaching, and I think he's a brilliant coach. I think he's extremely intelligent. I've had an opportunity to stand on the field and listen to some of his back and forth and listen to his interactions, and I know his safeties believe in him. So I know he's jumped over and he's planning to be a defensive coordinator. I lose Jay Hill. I hire Gennaro. I retain Gary. I go and get Gavin, and I secure a defense that I am very confident and comfortable in. I don't change it. I do everything I can to keep what you had over the last 2 years. So I'm begging everybody. I mean, anybody that's listening to this, Brian Santiago, Kalani Sitake, I'm begging y'all, please keep the consistency, because this defense is so incredibly designed and difficult and tough to score on. And yeah, the play caller will be different, but keep the fabric the same.
It'll be interesting to see. And we like the Fowlers around these parts. Uh-huh. We really do. Hans Olsen is on BYU Sports Nation. Yeah. The portal is open today. Who are your top priorities for BYU to retain, and what positions do they need to address?
Well, and I don't know who's jumping in and who's thinking of jumping in, but let's just consider everybody's jumping in. First and foremost, I'm making sure that Aaron Roderick is happy and that Bear Bachmeier is happy, because that is the core of your offense. So that's number one for me. Roderick, happy. Bear Bachmeier, happy. Everybody sticking around in Provo offensively. So if I can do that, I do that. The next thing that I do, guys, is I find a way to convince LJ Martin that another year of college football is good for him. I don't know how to do that. I know that running backs in the draft are difficult, and you know the only guaranteed money in the draft is your signing bonus. And if you're not a top three guaranteed, you know, maybe we're talking about 2026 with NIL money. Maybe it's more reliable. Maybe you go and get 1,500 yards on the ground and 500 yards through the air, and you're responsible for 18 to 20 touchdowns. You know, maybe we're talking Heisman. We're talking he could be a part of a Big 12 championship team, and that gets him the notoriety and gets him into the CFP. I'm doing everything I can to convince LJ Martin to stay another year and make sure that Bear Bachmeier doesn't entertain the transfer portal. Those are the two really big ones for me. Defensively, you know, I'm hoping Falatau Satawala stays. I think he is one of the best up-and-coming safeties in the country. I had him as my defense player of the year. There's a lot of reasons to that, but I've got him as my defensive player of the year. Now, everybody might say Jack Kelly with 10 sacks, and he was versatile, and he's definitely the quarterback contained killer, all of those things. for me, Falata Satawala came in when Raider DeMooney went down, and he became a superstar. He helped with contain, helped with coverages, helped with pressures, and was a tackle master. So if I can secure him, I do it today. Those are really some of the most critical components of what I'm trying to secure, and what I would think are probably the most sought after nationally, and maybe the most tough for BYU to keep.
Hans, we always appreciate the time. Lots going on right now in Cougar football, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes with us, man.
Thanks, brother.
Too much going on, boys. And I'm just, fingers crossed, this is my hope and my prayer. 2026 minus Jay Hill. Everybody's back.
That'd be
if
awesome.
If that happens, we'll see you guys back in the Big 12 championship game.
Heck yeah, man.
I like it.
Thanks, Hans. Hans Olsen on BYU Sports Nation. Fingers crossed for everybody.
Yeah,
all those thoughts, I like them.
Yeah, 100%. All right, BYU women's basketball will look to bounce back at home against unbeaten Arizona State tomorrow afternoon. Coverage begins at 4 Eastern on ESPN Plus and on BYU Radio.
Coming up in headlines, which Cougars have already entered the transfer portal, plus a loaded weekend of Cougars in the NFL and the final regular season games. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd. Let's get to today's headlines brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill was officially announced earlier this morning as Michigan's next defensive coordinator, joining Kyle Whittingham in Ann Arbor. Hill spent 3 seasons in Provo, where he helped turn the Cougars defense into one of the best units in the country, highlighted by leading the FBS in interceptions in 2024.
3 years from Weber State to Michigan, not bad. As of midnight, transfer portal officially open until January 16th. 7 BYU players previously announced their intentions and are expected to enter the transfer portal. McKay Hillstead, quarterback, defensive back Marcus McKenzie, his brother wide receiver Don McKenzie, Ike Tupo, an offensive lineman, Jake Griffin, offensive lineman, Mason Waller, the third, a wide receiver, and Tucker Kelleher, a tight end.
Number 10 men's basketball opens up Big 12 play tomorrow on the road at Kansas State. KenPom currently has the Cougars as an 8-point road favorite. Pre-game coverage for tomorrow's game begins at 12:30 Eastern on BYU Radio, with the game tipping off at 1:30 Eastern on both BYU Radio and on CBS.
Women's basketball dropped its Big 12 home opener to number 8 TCU, 72-48 on New Year's Eve. Freshman Sydney Benale scored a career-high 18 points in the loss. The Cougars look to bounce back against unbeaten Arizona State. Coverage begins at 4 Eastern on ESPN Plus and BYU Radio.
Cougars in the NFL this week. And final regular season weekend in the National Football League. Puka Nacua and the Rams hosting the Cardinals. Taysom Hill and the Saints head to Atlanta to play Tyler Allgeier and the Falcons.
Is that Taysom's last game in the NFL? I hope not.
I hope not. Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens facing the Steelers in a big one. And Brady Christensen of the Panthers travel to Tampa to play the Buccaneers.
Andy Reid, Kingsley Suamatia, and Jason's Chiefs take on the Raiders for the Raiders' hopeful loss for a number one pick. Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson, and the Packers play Tyler Batty, Sione Takitaki, and the Vikings. Kyrus Tonga and the Patriots host Zach Wilson and the Dolphins. Renrico and the Bengals take on the Browns.
And BYU men's and women's swim and dive are in Hawaii to compete against the Rainbow Warriors in a dual meet tomorrow.
That's a fun trip. We weren't invited on that one. After the break, our Big 12 men's hoops preview. How will the Cougars fare in a loaded league? And will AJ DeBonta win Player of the Year? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Second half, BYU might be the best team in the country. BYU will rise to the level of their competition.
A lot of the teams that we played were Big 12-esque. I'm
excited for conference, though.
I guess we need to be locked in. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepherd with you on this Friday, January 2nd. Men's hoops Big 12 play begins tomorrow for the BYU Cougars, ranked number 10 in the country. preseason pick to be number 2 in the Big 12. Let's remind you what the preseason poll looked like. Again, this is back in October before the season started. Now we have non-conference to sort of compare and contrast. Houston got all but one vote, and it was they couldn't vote for themselves, so they voted for BYU. Texas Tech, Arizona, Iowa State in your top 5, Kansas, Baylor, Cincinnati rounding out the top 8 there. So how different do you feel like conference play could play out to what the preseason poll was?
Well, right now, I wouldn't have Houston number 1. I think we all, I mean, I don't want to speak for you,
Arizona.
But I think Arizona is far and away the best team right now based off of what they've shown. So I would have, quite frankly, I would probably drop Houston to at least 3. I really do believe BYU finishes 2nd or 3rd in the conference. Mm. I think that's very, very
over
real.
Iowa State or Houston? Yeah.
Look, Iowa State is better than what we thought.
We thought they were good,
yes.
And then they pummeled Purdue on the road.
That's
everyone's like, wow!
That's what's always fun about this. Like, we talk about the non-conference, and you really can't learn a whole lot. That's true to a certain extent, but you can get an idea of, okay, I was wrong about this team, or you know what, I thought this team was going to be so much better. Like, you can start to get and form opinions on how you think this team is going to fare, and there's been some significant changes to some of the teams that I thought were going to be good versus ones that I thought would probably be mid-tier teams in the Big 12, and Iowa State's certainly one of them.
Arizona is the best team in the league, and BYU is going to have some massive matchups with Wildcats. I can't wait. Obviously, Kingston Fleming's tremendous freshman from Houston, the best freshman in America play in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. Cannot wait to watch Coa Pete at Arizona. Hopefully, Darren Peterson can
if he can ever
for
stay
Kansas,
healthy.
Right? He's only played, 4 games out of the 13? 14th in the top 10. Arizona better than we thought. Iowa State, that drubbing of Purdue really sent a message to the country. Texas Tech has one of the best duos in the country with JT Topp and the player of the year returns. Christian Anderson has taken a step forward. If Kansas ever gets Darren Peterson back, they could be really interesting in that sort of top 4, top 5 mix. What's Baylor going to be with Tunde Yesufu, who's a great freshman as well? They add James Nagy, the 31st
pick. They're bringing in NBA players.
Like, that whole thing stirred it back up. You know, Tom Izzo going, again over the weekend. Kevin Young, some real interesting comments yesterday to the media about that. He feels like, hey, you know, if these are the rules, we can do this, you know. And he said, to me, it's like you're adding someone at the trade deadline for a playoff push. Right. And BYU abs Abdullah Ahmed. So do we expect it to be much different? I think Arizona wins the league. I'm penciling BYU into that top 4 for sure. It's just whether they can be 2, 3, or 4. Right. It isn't what you finish in the Big 12 per se, although this is connected. It's can BYU be a top 3 seed in the NCAA tournament? That's the one that matters. I don't need a championship in the Big 12 per se. I need an Elite 8 plus. That's what I need from BYU. But I can't wait. 18 games. I think 14-4 is the record I'm landing on for the Cougars. Is that the
That's
same
a
for you?
Right spot
the exact
on.
Same one?
14-4. Yeah.
A lot of originality here.
14-4, but I also think BYU goes undefeated at home.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. That means they might have like 3 top 10 wins at home.
I'm just saying.
Because they have Arizona, Iowa State, Houston at home.
Yeah.
I mean, is it one matchup top 10, both teams, all time in the Marriott Center? It's at least one. It's San Diego State. 9 versus 4, Kawhi versus Jimmer, 2011. We might have 3 of those this year. Are you kidding me?
So my four.
Texas Tech at home as well on senior night or freshman night, as we call it, for AJ?
Yeah, I've got BYU going undefeated at home.
Woo! I love that. What will the best win be for BYU in conference?
It would be beating Arizona here.
Arizona at home, January 26th, big money, ESPN.
That would be the biggest. You knock off the number 1 team.
I love that one.
Yeah. So that would be the biggest, and I have it happening.
If it's not that one, give me Iowa State at home or Houston at home.
Right.
Do you think BYU is getting all 3 of those?
Why do I?
Woo! I love it.
Why can't I be optimistic about this team?
No one said you can't. I just, all 3 would be amazing.
Yes.
I'll take 2 of 3. Give me 2 of 3. That'd be great. I'll call 2 of 3. Will second half BYU be the team that performs? Because I said it on the postgame show, and you heard it in the music video. Second half BYU is the best team in the country. First half BYU is unranked. They're not in the top 25. But second half BYU is unbelievable. Oh, man.
Right.
Okay, so by quads.
Yes.
Let's look at BYU's conference schedule. 9 quad one games of the 18.
9 quad one.
I'm still got scar tissue from the WCC. I'm like, whoa, 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 there's more than 3? What? 9 quad one. 6 quad two. And then 3 or quad three. We got to call you out if you're a quad three game because those are basically home games. Arizona State, Utah, Colorado. Get your net up. Okay? Come on. Why are you bringing us down? Why are you bringing us down? Will A.J. DeBonsa win Big 12 Player of the Year?
I believe that he is the front runner, and I think that will play out. Yes, I think A.J. DeBonsa will end up being the Player of the Year. And I think he will I'm going to take it one step further. You think I'm going to stop here? I'm going to take it one step further.
We thought the hot take was win all the home games.
He will solidify himself as the number one pick. You still have a lot of people saying Darren Peterson.
Still.
Even though he's only played like 4 games.
Really?
Yes, you still have some saying that it's Darren Peterson. I think he's going to win Player of the Year, and I think he's going to end up being the number one pick. And the Jazz are going to go all the way up from number 9 to 1.
They better start losing.
They're
going
to get him.
Lowry better be, quote, unquote, resting or sick a little more. Some of the Big 12 Player of the Year frontrunners besides AJ, as mentioned, Josh Jefferson having a great year with Iowa State. JT Toppin, Big 12 Player of the Year. He's averaging a double-double. That dude is awesome. Cole Pete, another great freshman at Arizona. Kingston Fleming's great freshman guard at Arizona. And then Houston, excuse me. And then you're going to see P.J. Hagerty, as we mentioned, the number 3 scorer in the country. A.J.'s number 2. Kansas State. Kind of an outlier there. They're not going to be one of the top teams. I bet the best player from the top team probably wins the league. Let's say BYU's second or third, but A.J. is at 22 a game after Big 12 play, and BYU's right there. They're the game or two off. It could totally be A.J. He's got the star power. Never had a star like A.J. In terms of kind of from the beginning we know it. Like, Jimmer ascended to that his senior year. Junior, he came in as a first-team All-American, then went nuclear. A.J. is certainly unique in his NBA potential out of the gate. And this will be fun to watch, man. This is the most exciting BYU basketball season ever. We're talking about things that we've never talked about with BYU. Big 12 Player of the Year, A.J., National Player of the Year maybe. Number one pick, BYU in an Elite Eight or Final Four Plus. We've never talked about this. I hope we talk about it like this in the future. We may not. Let's enjoy it while we have it. It's awesome, man.
How many all Big 12 players did BYU get this year?
Did they list 10? I think it's 10.
I think I would
like 3.
Yeah, that's what
I think
that's
it's
where
2
I'm going.
For sure. I think Richie's in there. It's whether Rob Rat the third is one of the top 10 players in the league or not.
I think those top 3 all make all Big 12.
If BYU's second or third in the league, I think so. If they're fourth, maybe not. There is an individual element to that. And again, it is Big 12 play only that is accounted for technically. So all of AJ's December discarded in this conversation or supposed to be. But the perception is they remember.
Yeah.
They know.
All right. If you miss any interviews, trending topics, or any other BYU Sports Nation content throughout the week, make sure you subscribe to the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel to watch on demand.
Try not to be happy when you look at that photo.
That is great.
AJ dunking on him.
With a big smile on his face.
We'll wrap up today's show with our elite voice of the day and today's rise and shout out. Who gets the first of the year? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Our question of the day, Jay Hill to Michigan, who do you want to be BYU's next defensive coordinator?
First response from at Russ Melrose. If it's from outside, Wilcox or White. If it's in-house, K-pop. Personally, I think it's going to be Papinga.
If it was up to my one-year-old, it would be K-pop because she watches K-pop Demon Hunters every single day.
Yes, makes total sense.
Our lead voice of the day is presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. At Mike Steenblick, whose Twitter name is Jack Mormon BYU guy. Gennaro G, hands down. I read that wrong. Gennaro G, hands down, best we got and need to keep. We have also need to keep Anderson around to help him out for a few more years. This has been a Gary Anderson love fest today.
And it should be. He's He's crucial to this.
It's been awesome.
Keeping him on staff is big.
Today's Rise and Shadow is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about our guy Tanner Wall getting recognized at the Sugar Bowl last night on the AFCA Good Works team? Congratulations to Tanner Wall.
He's awesome, man. Our thanks to today's guest, Hans Olsen. Sorry to Dennis Pitta. We ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Caden Haas. Best of luck to the Cougs and Hoops over the weekend. Big 12 play begins for the men. Women beat Arizona State.